Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi, and I'm joined, as always, by Lisa and Travis.
Hey there, we're really glad that you've joined us today.
Yeah, we're excited, so thanks for taking your time to spend a few minutes with us this morning. I think we've got a good one today.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real. When people hear spiritual disciplines, which is what we've been talking about, they often hear guilt and obligation. But what we've been learning is that these are actually gifts from God to us. They're ways for us to lean into the grace of God and hear Him clearly.
And Dallas Willard said this, "Grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning." And that's huge, because I think that we feel like we've got to earn something, but we're not earning God's love by reading the scriptures, by reading our Bible. We're actually receiving it.
Yeah, and the more we receive it, the more we become like Jesus. Travis, could you read what Paul says in 2 Timothy that all scripture is God-breathed? It's chapter 3.
Yep. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
That passage is actually, the context of it is, there are people that are teaching false doctrines. They're teaching, like, hey, this is what the Bible says type of a thing. And he's saying, hey, you need to have this foundation understanding that this is God-breathed, this is from Him. You need to be able to rebuke them, but also it's actually a rebuking of our own hearts. Because if we're honest, I don't know, my heart gets a little wayward at times. It has desires that are of the flesh. It has things that God's best life is not in. And I think it's the best life for me, but God is the center of all of that. He is the creator of the world. He's the one that has put this thing all together. And Timothy, Paul is speaking to this young dude named Timothy who has a foundational understanding. He has this foundational understanding from his grandmother and mother, and they poured the scripture into him. And he's saying, hey, remember this. Remember what is going on here. This is God-breathed. This is from Him. This is good for rebuking and correcting and understanding our own hearts.
I think that's what makes the scripture so interesting and also under a ton of scrutiny these days. Like, you know, the Ten Commandment things at the courthouse, that was a big deal for a while. And like, we've all got kids in school, and there's the issue with reading scripture in school. Or even, I know you've probably read articles of some places that are like, oh, you can't bring your Bible in here. So it's just interesting that we live in this time and age where it is a book that's been around for so long, so many millions of copies sold, New York Times bestseller of all time, right? It's still got value today. So a lot of the questions I think that we hear from, you know, we live in a college town and a lot of academics, people are like, well, why should we study the Bible? Like, what makes this ancient book and all these things still relevant today?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because it's not ancient, right? It's alive. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is living and powerful and active. And so, like we said a few weeks ago, right, the Word of God doesn't just inform you. It's not a book about information that you can acquire. It actually changes you. It transforms you.
Hey, Travis, can you read that passage one more time?
Yep. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Yeah, Paul lays out really kind of some truths here in that passage. He says, hey, the source is from God. And, you know, we are all looking for wisdom. I don't know. I'm a podcast guy, whether I'm walking my dog or brushing my teeth or in the sauna. I'm listening to podcasts and one of the things that I'm always looking at when I'm choosing a podcast is who is the source? And then the efficacy of it. How is it going to form me? Is it what they're saying true? And what is it going to equip me to understand? So if you listen to something on parenting, you want to know that the people know what they're talking about. What's the source? You know, how is this going to form me into a better parent, or how is this going to equip us to do what God has called us to do. And what Paul does in this passage is he says, man, the source is like God. pretty good source. And it forms us, it changes us, and it equips us. It helps us to live this life that God has always intended for us.
Well, and what I love about this scripture is, like, you know, we've all probably read through it a time or two, but God's truth is always revealed in such a cool way. And I think that's just the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, you know, we read some of these passages over and over again, and at different times in my life, at different seasons and stages, like, God's Spirit just allows it to penetrate my heart in a different way. And, like, that goes right back to the source. And as I've looked back on my life, like, the scriptures have formed me in some pretty cool ways. It forms your thoughts, the truth pattern, the truth foundation that you stand on, your behaviors. And it's just like, I need reminders. So if there's a good podcast or a good book, like, I'll go back to those things. Sometimes I save, you know, I think you can heart them on your little app, but to go back to those things so that it continues to shape you and form you and remind you and equip us. And that's exactly what God's word does. There's a quote by C.S. Lewis where he said, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain." And that's such a cool, cool thought there, because scripture is where God does all three of those things at once.
Yeah, I love that. I love that about the word of God. That you can come to one passage in a certain season of your life and it can speak this, like, great hope and encouragement. And then in another season, perhaps, like, when, I don't know, when I've been sort of wandering away from Jesus, it speaks a totally, a consistent thing, but it brings me back in a different way. It challenges me. Sometimes it's really confusing. I mean, I know that when I've begun, you know, like a read through the Bible kind of a thing at the beginning of the year, and I find myself in Leviticus, I'm like, oh, Anna, why? You know, or you read Deuteronomy, or you get to Paul's commands, and you're like, what the heck am I supposed to do with this, you know?
Yeah, I think some of that has to do, though, with how we view the Bible. I mean, people have said, and I probably have said this too, a good meaning, people have said, like, oh, it's a roadmap. Well, there's maps in it, if you want to know where, like, ancient Israel was located and stuff. But I'm not sure it's, like, a roadmap. I don't think that's really a good picture. Or other people have said a love letter. And I'm like, I don't know. I've read that thing. That's a weird, weird love letter. You get to things like Tamar, and you're like, I'm not including that in any love letter, right?
The dude in Judges.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just so many weird things. But what I think is the issue, and when we're reading it, is understanding what it actually is. And it's revelation of God. It's who he is. This is how he operates in the world. And it's not just to like know it, but it's for God to like reveal himself to us. And that's very different. And so when I come to a passage where I'm confused, what I do is I go, where's the sinner? And because God always sends a rescuer. That is consistent throughout scripture. You go to the Israelites and Moses. They're in the desert. They're cruising around for 40 years. And I'm like, okay, what's going on there? What's happening? What's the sin? Well, what are they grumbling about? Well, that God's feeding them every day, but he's feeding them the same meal. And I used to think, like, how selfish of them. They're cruising around in the wilderness. And so one day I took this challenge that I would eat nothing but pancakes for 3 days. No syrup, no butter, just pancakes. Because I wanted to see, like, would I start grumbling? It took me, like, a day, and I was like, this is horrible. The other thing is that I learned that you have to get the ones with some roughage in it. because it stops you up a bit. But I'm like, I'm just like them. Like, I can see myself in the story very quickly that I'm a sinner. And what does God do? He sends a rescuer. He always sends a rescuer. And I'm like, man, that's me. I need a rescuer. I need Jesus. I need what he's done for me on the cross. I need for him today to save me from the desires and the things that are not for me, the things that are not like a part of what it means to be his kid, this best life that he promised, this life to the full, this life of abundance. And I'm like, man, I need that savior today. And so it's always that way in scripture. And so when you get stuck, just look for the sinner, because, and you probably can identify with them pretty quickly, and know that God reveals himself in the holy ancient text of how he operates. He always sends a rescue. He always sends, he's always good. He's always loving. He's always working for the best, working for the flourishing of those who love him. N.T. Wright reminds us of this. He says, the Bible is not a rule book. And that's the other thing I think we do, is we think of it as a rule book or a love letter. But he says, it's the story of how God is putting the world right. And he does that with Jesus, right? That's the first part. There's redemption. And the Bible's, it's put into four parts. It's creation, God created. Fall of man, we're sinners in need of a savior. We're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. And then there's redemption, which is Jesus, right? And then the fourth one is consummation. So it's not the way it's supposed to be yet, but God is putting it all back together, and he's coming. Jesus is coming again. That's what the Bible says, and he's going to rescue us from all of this. The Bible says that there is the world is groaning with pains right now, but he's coming, and he's going to make all things right, all things new.
Yeah, I think one of the really beautiful things that we find in this passage of Timothy is the idea of scripture being God breathed. And I actually don't know, Pastor Levi, what's the Greek word that is used there?
Theophatos. And it's two words, actually. It's a made up word by Paul. He doesn't actually know. Huh?
Yeah, I don't know that word.
Well, Theo is
right,
God.
Right, God. Yeah.
And then pneuma is spirit,
yeah,
and or breath or wind, and he puts those two together. There's no other Greek literature that actually uses that.
I just had this cool idea, like as you were saying that, like when God at creation, when God makes Adam, it says he breathed into him his life, right? And that's just like the coolest thing ever, to think that the Word of God is breathed. And as we encounter the Word of God, it is the breath of God in us. That's pretty cool. Like that, it's actually life.
Well, it changes the nature of the Word of God.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's not something out of duty I go to. It's something where I get life, and like there's something influencing us all the time. All the time, and so what is influencing your life? What is, you know, and only one thing in all of the world is said to be God-breathed. Like, these are like the very words of God written by the hand of man, inspired by the Spirit of the living God for us today, for them in this ancient culture. It's amazing.
Well, it's that same breath that created the world, that same breath that rose Jesus from the dead is in his scriptures. And I think that's just, I mean, it's mind-blowing, and it's just crazy, right, to think about that. And that's why I think, like, we don't just read the Bible for the sake of reading the Bible. Like, when we sit in God's presence and let his word, his breath, breathe into our life, like, we encounter the living God through it, and it's so incredible.
Yeah, I was just reminded of that passage in Deuteronomy, actually, where, how does it go? The word of God is in you and in your hearts that you would, how does it go? I was just actually trying to find it. Do you know the passage that I'm talking about? But to think that the word of God is in us, and it's an encounter with God when we encounter his word, but he actually is working in and through us. His life is in us in his word. So freaking cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's something different than I think most of us, like, that grew up in church were brought up in, right? Travis, what was your favorite song when you were a kid?
I can't say that.
Read your Bible.
Oh, that one. Oh, that was it?
Wasn't that it?
That was when I was little.
That's what your mom told me. I don't know.
Yeah.
What is it? Read your Bible.
Read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow, grow, grow.
Yeah, and that's simply really just true. But there's also, what's the second verse of that?
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Forget to read your Bible every day.
Shrink, shrink, shrink.
Shrink, shrink, shrink. Yeah. And you like shrink down. Do you remember doing that? Mm-hmm. Like, what is like this like really promising, like, yeah, I get to grow. And then there's this ominous, like, oh, wait, I shrink. And the reality of that simple song is I think it's actually true. I think it's true in our lives. We do not flourish without the very word of God in us. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And where do we get the mouth of God? We often think, I think this is part of one of the issues with people, is they're like, I want to hear the voice of God. Well, maybe we should just start with the place he already spoke, yeah, right? And is speaking. He speaks through his very word to us about who he is. And when we think that we are the center of the world, we've already mistaken coming to the scripture. It's not just like, oh, how do I have a good relationship? Those things are in there. Or what job to take? I don't know if that's really in there, but it'll give you some wisdom toward choosing that. But like to know God, to enter into him speaking to you in a conversation, that's the word of God.
Yeah, Eugene Peterson said that we don't simply learn or use scripture, we assimilate it so that it gets metabolized into acts of love, the idea that the word becomes part of who you are. I just looked up the verse, and it's Paul quoting Deuteronomy in Romans chapter 10, and it says, the word of God is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart that you may proclaim. And he goes on to talk about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you should be saved. And so it's actually a really beautiful idea that the word is in you. It becomes a part of who you are, and it changes you as it does that.
Yeah, it's not a side practice. Like the word of God, like the conversation with God that is found in the word of God for you today is central. It shows us who God is and who we're becoming. It's hopeful. It's beautiful. It's a relationship.
Yeah, the Bible isn't just a rule book or a theology manual or a really dusty thing on your coffee table. It's actually a conversation. It's meant to be a conversation. Just like Moses, who is said to have met with God face to face, is a personal invitation. That's what the word of God is.
Yeah, that's in the Old Testament. And it says that he spoke to him like a friend. That's just beautiful.
That is pretty cool. You know, I was thinking just of that conversation component to it. You know, you often hear people say, like, man, when I get to heaven, I've got some questions for God. But we see, like, through his scripture, through his word, he's already speaking. Like, we're able to have that conversation right here, right now, through the scriptures. And, you know, I think of my friends. Like, I've got buddies from Colorado still, and, like, if I'm not having a conversation with them, like, that friendship isn't tight. And they're, like, I've got a buddy and his wife are coming back to the area to visit this summer, and we're excited about that because we get to communicate, we get to have those conversations. It's like a refreshing of that relationship. But God's given us his word where we can do that every single day.
Yeah, when I think about that conversation with Moses in the tent as a friend, like I thought of, like I used to lead trips into the boundary waters and into the Algonquin Provincial Park, and you'd be sitting in kind of these adventure trips for youth and college students, and you'd be sitting there in the tent, and some of the best conversations were not on the trail, were not around the fire. They were sitting in the tent. It's a little bit muggy. I hate loons. I know I'm probably like one of the only humans in the world that hate loons, but that sound just irritates me. It wakes me up, and they're annoying. Anyway, you'd be hearing all of these things happening as you're kind of trying to go to sleep. And what would happen? It'd break out in conversation. You start talking about the depths of things. It's a little, the darkness is starting to set in, and you're starting to just open up in a conversation that's super, like just deep, right? And I think that's when we open the Word of God, the depth of what we can know about Him. He wants to be known. you're not going to know everything about God because that would make you God, right? Like, but you're going to, he's given it to you to know who he is and to hear who he is and to know how to live as the created being that you have been created to be. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, the word of scripture should never stop sounding in your ears and working in you all day long. The question isn't whether God is speaking. I think that is not the question that the scriptures ever pose. It's not like, hey, you need to hear this audible voice. That's not the question. It's whether we're listening. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways we listen is we interact with the very word of God, which is, as you said, Lisa, alive.
And I think we expect this to happen like at the snap of a finger, right? Like we want this relationship, God to speak like super quick. And, you know, my wife and I will be married 20 years this summer. And as I think back on that, like our marriage is so much richer and deeper now over the course of that 20 years. I mean, it was great starting out. I'm not saying that after the first year, after we got that under our belt. But like it's slow work. And if you think about relationships, like you form those bonds over time, you know, you go through things with people and like it just strengthens your trust and your dependence and all of that connective side of a relationship. But this is slow work with God. Like we want these quick, fast answers. But as we spend time with him, that relationship grows and deepens and gets stronger. And we want God to be like, you know, the surgeon that just quick cuts out the thing, repairs the bone, stitches you back up, and like you're good to go. But God works like a farmer. You know, he sows, he waters, he prunes. It has to rain. There has to be, you know, seasons that come to pass. And over time, like we get to see that fruit that we bear as we walk in that relationship with him, as we grow in our connection with him. And like it's just a richer and more beautiful thing as time goes on.
I remember I think we want the Bible to be some, like a, I don't know, a meme that fixes everything or a magic eight ball. I had a friend when I went to Bible college for a brief time who swore that the best way to read the Bible was to close your eyes, flip it open, and then like point your finger in the middle. And then wherever you landed is the verse for the day. You know, so you like open it up and you find himself in Mark chapter 6 or whatever. And there Jesus was found taking a nap. And so lucky for him, he got to take a nap that day. And it sounds ridiculous, right? But I actually think that we often treat scripture that way. But when we do, we miss a sort of deeper invitation to not just be fixed. Yeah, I mean, Kyle may have needed a nap for sure, but not just to be fixed, but to be formed, right? To actually find the rest of God, not merely a nap. And I think I think it's a beautiful thing when we understand the scripture as an invitation.
Yeah, and I think we get discouraged and we're like, oh, I'm not getting anything out of it. But I think what you're saying, Travis, is this idea of this continual, like, just keep going with it, keep allowing it. Some of the stuff in our hearts is, you know, it's like plaque on your teeth. It's like a rock, right? And God has to just keep poking at it, the jackhammer of the word of God to change your heart, to start to, for you to see the world in which the way he sees the world. And so we stay in the conversation. We stay in the word of God because it's God's breath in every word. And he has not stopped speaking. He's still speaking today. That ancient text that we go, oh, it's so old and dusty and crusty, is the very word that he wants for us today. He's still speaking.
Yeah, that's why we study the Bible, right? Because it's from God, because it's alive, because it works in us, and it equips us for meaningful life.
And it's not about duty. It's not about your performance. It's about presence. It's about bringing your heart in to that meeting place with the Lord so that his heart can connect with yours and change you and shape you. And you don't have to be a scholar. You just got to show up.
Yeah, just be seeking. Yeah. What's the passage that says, knock and the door shall be opened? I think this is, pretty important thing for us to just open the word of God. And it's a way of knocking on that door, knocking into that conversation. Spurgeon nailed it when he said, a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. I love that. I love that. Well, thank you for listening to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. Don't just think about scripture. open it.
Yeah, and if it confuses you, that's a good thing. It means you're reading with curiosity. Just keep on going. Keep seeking him.
Hey, thanks for tuning in with us today. We hope that you enjoyed your time hanging out with us in Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those over to us at travis@evangelup.org. Or if you want to catch up on any of the previous episodes here, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or head over to our website, evangelup.org.